Hello and welcome. You're listening to The Broadband Exchange, the podcast from your friends at Telecompetitor. I'm Ian Desher, Pivot's Director of Media and Story and Managing Editor of Telecompetitor. It's time to review this week's broadband news. Let's get into it. We'll start this week talking about spectrum, as in wireless spectrum, where the FCC had both a finished auction and a future auction in the news. The Commission announced the winners of its recent AWS-3 auction, which brought in more than $3.5 billion in winning bids. Verizon was the largest winner by dollar amount, with more than $3 billion in bids for 82 licenses. T-Mobile bought the most licenses, with 102. AT&T and SpaceX also picked up spectrum in multiple markets. The auction covered 200 licenses in the 1695 to 1710 MHz, 1755 to 1780 MHz, and 2155 to 2180 MHz bands. The spectrum had originally been won back in 2014, but those bids were either defaulted or withdrawn, leaving the licenses in the FCC's inventory. The FCC said as much as $3.3 billion of the proceeds will help cover money borrowed to support the Rip and Replace program and other Commerce Department programs. The FCC is also proposing a much larger auction for next year. Chairman Brendan Carr said the commission would vote at its July 22nd meeting on whether to auction 160 MHz of upper C-band spectrum. That spectrum sits between 3.98 and 4.14 GHz. Congress required the FCC to auction at least 100 MHz of upper C-band spectrum by July 2027. The FCC's draft order would go beyond that minimum and, according to the commission, will help create a broader 440 MHz C-band superband. The FCC also said it had worked with aviation and satellite stakeholders on safeguards, which matters given the earlier debate around 5G and aircraft radio altimeters. Next, let's move to infrastructure, fiber, and AI. Verizon and BT Group announced a 50-50 joint venture that will combine Verizon's international enterprise wireline arm with BT International. The companies framed the move as a response to a cloud-first world in the age of AI. The joint venture is expected to serve more than 3,000 customers in more than 180 countries, with combined annual revenue of about $4 billion. Verizon will make a $625 million equalization payment to BT, and both companies will have equal voting rights. Martin Blanken, who has worked at Telstra, OpenWave Systems, EXA Infrastructure, and KPN, was announced CEO designate. Verizon and BT both want to strengthen their international enterprise businesses while keeping their domestic focus. It's another recent joint venture announcement in an environment in which even the largest providers are looking for ways to partner when global scale, cloud connectivity, cybersecurity, and AI-ready infrastructure all intersect. A new Fiber Broadband Association white paper made a related argument from a different angle. FBA President and CEO Gary Bolton wrote that mass fiber deployment and the rise of AI are creating what the paper called two simultaneous infrastructure supercycles. The report pointed to record U.S. fiber growth, with FBA and RVA market research finding that providers passed 11.8 million homes in 2025. That brought total U.S. fiber passings to 98.4 million, including multiple passings, and 84.6 million unique homes. On the AI side, the report highlighted massive capital expenditures by companies including Amazon, Alphabet, Meta, and OpenAI. The paper's central point was that fiber is no longer just an access technology. It is becoming the connective layer for AI workloads, data centers, defense applications, and regional economic development. The FBA is pointing out that AI requires a physical network, and fiber is increasingly being described as part of the foundation. We also had a mergers and acquisitions story out of California. Intrepid Fiber Networks entered into a definitive agreement to acquire Ubiquiti's Southern California network. If the deal closes, Intrepid will gain 35,000 fiber passings in San Diego County communities, including Solana Beach, Encinitas, Carlsbad, and Oceanside. Intrepid already had active fiber construction underway in Corona, Riverside, Vista, and San Marcos. With the Ubiquiti network, the company will have more than 100,000 home and business passings in the region. Intrepid CEO Jack Waters said the transaction accelerated the company's California strategy and added an in-service network with an established customer base and municipal relationships. Now let's turn to state broadband programs. The New Mexico Office of Broadband Access and Expansion introduced a free permit finder tool designed to help providers understand which permits are needed for broadband construction. The tool covers local, state, and federal permit requirements across nearly $900 million in state and federally funded broadband infrastructure projects. It's also available to providers building in New Mexico, regardless of funding source. Users can search for permits within a defined area or upload a network design to identify the permits they need. The tool can show the type of permit, the permitting agency, contacts, application information, and instructions for the process. For anyone who has watched a build get slowed by rights of way, compliance review, land ownership questions, and agency coordination, it is going to be a boon, and it's a move that we've seen by other states, a tool intended to make broadband deployment less onerous. New Mexico also launched a nearly $6 million public Wi-Fi program this past week. The Community Wi-Fi Digital Connectivity Technology Project was funded through the American Rescue Plan Act's Capital Projects Fund. Local and county governments, along with state agencies, are eligible to apply, and no matching funds are required. Approved projects must provide service of at least 100 by 20 megabits per second. Applicants also need a cybersecurity risk management plan or must be ready to implement one before service launches. Applications are due July 15th, and all projects must be completed by December 31st because the funding expires at the end of this year. Speaking of state funding, Washington State also awarded some broadband grants, with the Public Works Board providing $5.1 million for four projects in Island, Kitsap, and Okanagan counties. The funding came from the state's Coronavirus Capital Project Fund through ARPA. The largest award, about $2.6 million, went to the Confederated Tribes of the Colville Reservation to construct 5 miles of fiber to 205 residences and 10 businesses. Kitsap County Public Utility District, Okanagan County Public Utility District, and Whidbey Telephone also received awards. The state said the projects were designed to support education, telehealth, public safety, economic development, and access for unserved and underserved locations. Next, two stories showed how AI and satellite connectivity continue to affect consumer and business markets. A report from Hiya found that trust in phone calls declined over the past year as scam calls increased and AI-generated voices made impersonation harder to detect. The company surveyed more than 12,000 consumers across 6 countries. Globally, 34% said their overall trust in phone calls had decreased during the previous 12 months because of scams. In the U.S., consumers received an average of 10 unwanted calls per week. Nearly 1 in 3 respondents globally reported receiving an AI deepfake phone scam in the past year. The report also found that 1 in 12 Americans lost money to a phone scam, with an average loss of $682. For legitimate businesses and providers, the problem isn't just fraud, it's also that customers are answering fewer calls, including calls they may actually need. Meanwhile, an article in the Financial Times reported that SpaceX is considering a retail mobile service in the United States under its Starlink brand. The Times reported that SpaceX COO Gwynn Shotwell discussed the idea during a recent IPO roadshow. The report followed months of speculation after SpaceX paid $17 billion for EchoStar wireless spectrum licenses last year. A Starlink mobile service, of course, would raise a lot of competitive questions. After T-Mobile acquired Sprint, the U.S. market moved from 4 major mobile carriers to 3. A new retail service from SpaceX would change that structure again, although it's too early, of course, to know what the pricing or coverage, device, and regulatory implications would all be. But it's something that, of course, we will be keeping up with and paying attention to. Finally, we'll close with Telecompetitor's interview on why Astound recently declined BEAD awards in both Oregon and Texas. Astound Vice President of Regulatory Broadband and Community Relations, Fred Maldonado, said the company had submitted 33 BEAD applications in Texas. The goal was to create a single continuous fiber route from Astound's existing network into more than 30 counties. The state awarded only 5 of those applications, leaving the company with counties far from its footprint. Maldonado said it became impossible to justify the expense to build to those areas. And Oregon created a similar issue. Astound submitted 25 BEAD applications and won 12, but the awarded areas left gaps in the network and drove up construction costs. Maldonado also said that the time between application submissions and final awards made a difference because during that stretch, costs rose considerably in every state where Astound had applied. Public records showed that Astound forfeited about $166 million in provisional Texas awards and roughly $90.6 million in Oregon awards. Other providers also stepped away from some of those awards in both states. This story is a reminder of the reality that provisional BEAD awards are not the same as signed contracts or completed projects. Network continuity, cost inflation, construction realities, and timing all matter. For state broadband offices, it also shows how important project geography and award design can be, because a build that looked workable as part of a larger contiguous plan can look very different when only pieces of that plan are awarded, as was the experience for Astound. And that's it for us this week. Thank you for listening to the Broadband Exchange. I hope you all had a delightful 3-day weekend. You can read all the articles we mentioned today at telecompetitor.com. Feel free to drop us a line while you're there. Thank you again for joining us, and we will see you next time.